my Lord, my God, my Father, my King, my Savior, my everything. I give you all the honor, all the glory, all the praise. God, I ask that I hide my, let me hide myself under your shadow of your wings, under your almighty arms, on my almighty hand. Let your love overpower me. Let your Holy Spirit overtake me. And let everything that is said before you, and said before your people, uplift, encourage, and touch somebody that hears this word, hears this message, God. Lord, let them hear you and not just me. Let them see you and not me, God. Let your Holy Spirit abound. Let your love abound. And let everything that is said here be God said and God sent, God. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen and amen. God bless you, City Reach, and the world. Thank you so much for joining with us again as I share my heart with you, as I share what God has to share with you. I have a question for you guys. How many of you believe that you have a purpose? How many believe that you have a reason to be here, a reason for living, a reason to exist even, and that you are called to a purpose? You are called to do something great and something that nobody else can do, something that only you can do. I want to tell you that, yes, you are here for a purpose. You are here for a reason. You are called by God. You are even marked by God, not by worldly standards, not by your friends, not by what your family might think, but what God has his eye on you. And he marked you for a reason, and he marked you for a purpose. And you are marked and earmarked by God to let you know and let everyone else know that you're special, that you have a calling, that you have a purpose. You have a, God has a plan for you, destined just for you. You might think you're overlooked. You might think that you're meaningless. You might think you have no value or no worth, but God lets you know. He sent Jesus down to let you know that you're worth it. You are called by God. You are marked. You are earmarked by God. You are special in God's eyes. You are so special that God is looking out for you right now. You are so special that he has your name on his lips. You are so special that he has your name written on the palm of his hand. And he looks at you and he looks down and said, my son and my daughter, I am so well pleased with them. And I have something special for them. You might think, no, not me. I don't have a calling. I'm nobody special. I don't have a great gift. I don't have a great talent. I messed up. I've sinned. I've done wrong. I've done things that are not pleasing to God. I made a lot of mistakes. I made a lot of setbacks. I'm old. I'm young. I'm short. I'm tall. I'm fat. I'm skinny. I can't do special things. Yes, you can. You are called by God. But most importantly, you are marked by God. Let's go to the scripture. Just bring up a story of another person, another young man who was marked by God. Although he might think he was overlooked, he might have been thought he was insignificant, but he was marked by God because God had his eye out on him. Let's go to the scripture. Let's go to 1 Samuel 16 chapter, starting with the first verse. It says, now the Lord said to Samuel, you have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king. But Samuel asked, how can I do that? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me. Take a heifer with you, the Lord replied, and say that you have come to make a sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you which of his sons to anoint for me. So Samuel did as the Lord instructed. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town came trembling to meet him. What's wrong? They asked. Do you come in peace? Yes, Samuel replied. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. purify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then Samuel performed the purification rites for Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice too. When they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab, I can't say that right, and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse told his son Abinadab to step forward and walk in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, this is not the one the Lord has chosen. Next, Jesse summoned Shimeah. But Samuel said, neither is this the one the Lord has chosen. In the same way, all seven of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. Then Samuel asked, are these all of the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse replied, but he's out in the fields watching the sheep and goats. Send for him at once, Samuel said. We will not sit down to eat until he arrives. So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome, with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, this is the one, anoint him. So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Then Samuel returned to Ramah. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. And as we read this story, it's the story of, at that time, Israel had wanted a king. They wanted to be ruled like other nations. They wanted to have a monarchy like all the other nations around them. But God didn't want them to have a monarchy. God wanted to rule them by himself. God wanted to be their Lord. God wanted them to be their God and their king. But the children of Israel said, no, we want a king. We want a king like everybody else has. We want to be ruled by a king like everybody. We want somebody that can go before us and that we can look at and we can be proud of. I said, that's my king. And so the people chose Saul. And Saul was a handsome man. Saul was a tall man. Saul was a powerful looking man. He stood head and shoulders above everybody else in the kingdom. So when they looked at him, man, yeah, they looked at him and said, that's Saul. That's our king. That's my man right there. That's Saul. That's my king. And Saul was like, he looked head and shoulders above all the other kings. And God, you know, Samuel blessed him and God anointed him. And he was a king for the first king. And he did good at first. And then finally, you know, he stepped out of character and out of his role and disobeyed God and didn't do what God called him to do. And if you look here in his first verse in this 16th chapter, again, it says, now the Lord said to Samuel, you have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. And it's funny because God is the one employer that will fire you and leave you in position. He'll keep you in the position that you have no power or no authority to hold or to handle, because he puts you up there and you get yourself up there and you think God is behind you. And before you know it, he's like, yeah, I'm doing great things. I'm a king and I'm a leader and I'm a ruler and I'm doing this and I'm a leader and all this stuff. And you think God is with you. Before you know it, God has rejected you and you're still up there all by yourself. That's what Saul found himself. That's where the children of Israel found themselves, with a king with no authority. God forbid we get in a position that God didn't call us to. God forbid that we take on authority that God didn't call us to. God forbid that we take a role or we take a responsibility that God never intended for us to have. It might be in his permissive will to grant you that position. It might be his permissive will to grant you that 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 job or that promotion or that car or that home or that spouse, but it's not his will, that his full will, his complete will for you. He wants what's best for you, because God's blessings makes you rich but adds no sorrow to it. So imagine yourself, you're in a position and you're a king and you think your head and shoulders above all others and you think you're doing great things, but you're looking before, behold, you sin. He said, well, I'm still a king. I could do what I want to do. I'm a king. I could do things that I feel great because I'm a king. It's good to be the king, right? But no, God had rejected him, but left him in position because he respects the position. And sometimes not the person, because the person is not qualified or not called to that position. Sometimes it's good to seek God before we take positions. Sometimes it's good to seek God before we take assignments and take roles and responsibilities. That way we could do the things that God has called us to do, and we won't find ourselves in position without power. God had rejected Saul. And we don't want to be rejected like that. Amen. So that's one thing I found out and I read. God, he's an employer that fires you, but leaves you in position. And what he did, he says, you know what? I hire somebody else, have somebody else waiting in the wings that I have my eye on. I have somebody else waiting in the wings that everybody else overlooked. He doesn't look like the person you want, the king you want to look like. He looks like the person that I want, because you look on the outward appearance, but I look on the heart. I look on the inside. If you look down, in the seventh verse, the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. I'm not for physical appearances or for outward expressions. I'm for the heart. I'm a God after my own heart. I'm seeking somebody that's seeking after my heart. I look on the inside. And the Lord says he doesn't see things the way we see them, because people judge on outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter the things that you do on the outside to make yourself appear like you're called, or to make yourself look like the position that you try to get. But God sees the inward appearance. He sees your heart condition. He sees if you're truly going to love him when you get the position. He sees you. He sees that you're truly going to follow after him when you get that power and you get that position. He's looking at the inwards. So before we try to build ourselves up on the outward to make ourselves look like we're where we want to be, let's work on the inside. Let's look in our hearts. Let's let God look at my heart, search my heart. If there's anything that's detrimental to my calling, I open up my heart and I open up my inside so you can come and cleanse me and make me more like you. Allow God to come into your heart, search your heart and clean your heart from the inside out. That's how God works, from the inside out. Because God is looking for somebody that's looking for him. God is looking for someone that is seeking for him. God is looking for somebody that's, even when they're all alone, has God on their hearts and God's on their minds. And that's what we find out where David was. He was attending sheep. He was somebody that was, even when his father had a big party, a big celebration, and invited all of his so-called brothers and all of his sons, he was still overlooked. But David never looked bad. David just was doing what he was called to do. He was a shepherd. I'm just going to tend the sheep until he didn't even know he was called. He was just, I'm just doing what I've been chosen to do. I'm a leader. I'm going to lead these sheep. But God said, I'm going to make you a shepherd over people, over my nation. And when he found him, when Jesse finally brought him up and Samuel saw him, and he noticed, and God said, that's the one. That's the one that I'm after. All those other seven sons, they may look the part. They may look stronger. They may look taller. But I don't want that. I want somebody that's after me, after my heart. And that's what God wants. So when God has you on mind, God has called you and God has marked you, not because of what you've done on the outside, but because of the price you paid on the inside. Spend some time searching for him. Spend some time seeking after him and speaking out what God loves so that you can love the same thing. 2 Corinthians, this on first chapter, Psalm 21st verse, in the Amplified version, it says, "Now it is God who establishes, now it is God who establishes and confirms us in joint fellowship with you and Christ, who has anointed us, empowering us with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It is he who also put his seal on us. That is, he has appropriated us and certified us as his, and has given us the Holy Spirit in our hearts as a pledge, like a security deposit, to guarantee the fulfillment of his promise of eternal life." So God has established and confirmed us. He has looked at us. He has marked us. He has looked, I have something for that person right there. I have something for that woman right there. I have something for that child right there. And I have established and I have confirmed it with the Holy Spirit. I put a seal on it, like a down payment. So he empowered us with the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that we may be able to do his works and be able to do great things and do the and establish the calling that God has for our lives. He has sealed us with the Holy Spirit, and he put that Holy Spirit inside of us. He's given us in our hearts as a pledge. Like when a husband and wife get married and they exchange rings, the rings, and the rings are symbolic of the pledge that they took on their wedding day. So when you look at your ring, although you may not relive your wedding ceremony every time you look at it, you might just remember that this is just a symbolic pledge, symbolic of the pledge that I made to my wife when we got married. And when she looks at her ring, she sees the same thing. She looks and sees the ring, which is a never-ending circle, but it's a pledge or a symbolic of the pledge that we made when we got married. And so when God looks on us, and he sees the Holy Spirit in our hearts, that's a pledge that he made to us. That I put my spirit on you, that you may do good works and fulfill your calling before men, so that men might know that I am God and I am Lord. And he gives us these gifts of the Spirit. What are these gifts? He gives us different gifts. It's like, and it's a free gift that, just like in Christmas time, it's just like sometimes we don't ask for, and sometimes we do ask for them, but it's like something we don't pay for. And he gives us several gifts. And some people might have more than one gift. Some people have one gift. Some people might have them all. And it's like my wife says, sometimes she's like, I want them all. I want all of the gifts. I want everything that God has for me. And some of these gifts, here are some of the gifts. We have gifts of wisdom, gift of knowledge, gift of great faith, gift of healing, gift of miracles, gift of prophecy, the gift of discernment, the gift of speaking in unknown tongues, and the gift of interpretation. So he gives us these nine different gifts, and they're each for the perfecting of the church, perfecting of the saints, but the perfecting of the body of Christ, so that we may be able to grow together and do God's calling and do God's work throughout this world. So that when we go every place and we operate in these gifts, and these gifts operate through us, we do what God's called us to do, and his love is spread, his joy is spread, his gospel is spread, and his word is spread throughout the world when we're operating in the gifts that he gives us through the Holy Spirit. It's something that we don't train, certain gifts that we get and we're all asking for, some gifts that we're born with, some gifts that we've asked for, some gifts that, and a lot of gifts that we have, we need to figure out how to perfect them. Like the gifts of wisdom, we need to learn more so that we can be able to get more wise. That the gift of discernment, we have actually to test and try those gifts so that they be able to become stronger. The gift of prophecy, that we maybe test those prophetic gifts and to establish them and build our confidence up in the giftings that God has called us to, so that we're able to perfectly yield the gift like a sword or a shield, so that we be able to do God's calling and do God's will within our lives. Amen. If 1 Corinthians 12 chapter says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. That's it. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of spiritual knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith. To another and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all of these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So it's God that decides and discerns which gifts that we should have and what's ability that we should be able to look at, to learn and to accomplish and to work out so that we be able to accomplish his goal here through us on earth. And what's the goal? It's given to each of us so we can help each other. Our gifts are not to help ourselves. Our gifting is not to make ourselves famous, not to make ourselves rich, not to make ourselves boastful and proud, like I'm big and strong like Saul and I'm a head and shoulders above everybody else. No, our gifts are given to help each other. Because when we help each other, we each can go and grow together and do what God's called us to do as a body. He didn't call us to be one person. He called us to be a body, to come together. So, well, it's okay to ask for all of these gifts and different, you know, things, but sometimes perfect the one gift that you have first and allow that thing to work to its full fruition. And then you combine with somebody else that has another a gift, and like a body, we'll perfect them together. Each one perfecting their own gifts and their own talents and their own things that God has called them to do. We're all called to do something. God gives us his Spirit as a seal, like I said before, as a promise, as a look, as a pledge. I have pledged my love to you. I have given you my Spirit as a seal, signed, sealed, delivered. It's yours. Your gifting, your calling. You are marked for greatness. You are marked for more than what you are right now. You are marked to be great. You are marked to be more than. You are marked to give more than. You are marked to do more than what you're doing right now. You're saying, I said to yourself, but I'm all tapped out. I can't give anymore. I can't do any. I can't risk another loss. I can't risk another failure. I can't risk getting said no to again. I can't risk another rejection. Even my parents rejected. Even my father rejected me. When Samuel came down, he didn't even think about me. But you know what? Your father may have looked you over. Your mother might have looked you over. Your husband and your wife might have even looked you over. But God doesn't. God sees you, and he is searching for you. He is sending a prophet. He is sending a judge. He is sending a Samuel in your life to anoint you, because God has you marked. God has a calling for your life. He's calling you right now where you are. Yes, you. Don't deny his calling. Don't something I is pricking on your heart. Surrender your will for his. Things may not go the way you want. Things may not look the way you want them to look. But God will work all things out for your good. Because you love him and because he loves you more. He has you marked for greatness. He has you marked for more than. He has you marked to do great and miraculous things. He has spirits. He has his gifts laid out for you. All you have to do is to accept him. Accept that gift. Accept that pledge that he has for you. Certain gifts are evident once they are given to us, but once you give it, it's like, I have wisdom came out of nowhere. But there are other gifts that have to be trained and developed and perfected before their true potential has been met. And it's up to you to trust God. Trust the one who gave you that gift to help you perfect that gift, to help you perform that gift to its greatest capacity and greatest performance level and to its peak performance. Don't just hide it. Don't just say, I have this gift, and keep it to yourself, because your gift is not for yourself. Your gifting is to help others. And don't despise your gift, because it may not seem like much now, but allow the Holy Spirit to perfect that gift inside of you. It may not seem like much now. It may not be time to speak now, but it might be time to listen and learn. But when the time comes to speak, speak. And watch God move in your life like never before. Don't compare your gift with someone else's, because they might be able to carry that gift and you might not be. And they may not be able to carry the gift that you have. God is the one who gives us gifts according to his desires in our life. So don't despise your gifting, that it might seem small, it may seem insignificant, or it may not seem much. And don't despise or compare or contrast the gifting between yours and others, or get jealous of it. Work out your gift. Work out your calling. God has you marked for a reason. He marked you for a purpose. If he would have marked somebody else, you for that, for your purpose, he would have done that. But they have their own calling. You work in your own calling. God has you marked to be you. Everything you've gone through in the past, everything you've experienced in the past is for a reason, because it got you to where you are right now. David was marked by God and then sent back into the pasture to help lead the sheep, because he still had to work out his gift and he still had to work out his calling. So then years later, when they became this knock on the door by this big giant named Goliath, David had experience behind his back. He says, I've been anointed, but I've been put back into the field to work out my calling, to work out my gifting. And so lo and behold, I came across this lion and this bear, and they tried to take my sheep, and I killed them, because I had to work out, because God called me, or my father told me in charge, put me in charge of these sheep. And how dare this lion or this bear come to attack one of the sheep that my father put me in charge of? And so because of that, I have experience in hand-to-hand combat. So when Goliath comes, he's like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine coming to speak against the Lord's servants of my God? Now, wait a minute. If I'm going to protect the sheep that my earthly father put me in charge of course I'm going to protect the sheep that my godly father put me in charge of. So David caught that slingshot, that rock, and killed Goliath. Why? Because he worked out his calling. Don't despise your small gifts. Don't despise your small beginnings. Just work out that calling that God has for you, because he has you marked for a purpose. Ephesians 1st chapter says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the good news of your salvation, and as a result believed in him, were stamped with the seal of the promise of promised Holy Spirit, the one promised by Christ, as owned and protected by God. So when you got allow God into your heart and allow Christ into your heart and Holy Spirit into your heart, to your life, you were stamped. You were sealed by God. You were marked by God. You got the marking on your heart. You got the marking that says, I am approve of this child. I approve of this daughter. I approve of this son. This is my child in whom I am well pleased. So when Christ came down and to live his life for us, to die on his cross for us, to allow us to get communion back with God, he sent his son down to pay that price for us so that we may be able to accept him and allow the Holy Spirit to come into our lives. That's why this is why we do what we do. This is why we're called to do what we do and lead what we lead. And that's why I preach the way I preach, because God loves you so much. He has a calling for you. He has a charge for you. He has a job for you to do. He has marked you for a purpose. All you need to do is allow Christ into your heart and let the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with you, and to give you those gifting that he has marked you for, earmarked you for. I have wisdom for this person. I have prophecy for this person. I have discernment for this person. I have knowledge for this person. I have the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues for this one. God has you for a reason, called you for a purpose. You are listening to this word for a reason, because God has a plan for you. Jesus came and died for you. John 3:16-17 says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. We have the salvation ABCs. A, acknowledge or admit that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. B, believe. Believe that not only Jesus died for our sins, but that he rose from the grave. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And see, confess. Confess your faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believed and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Acknowledge, believe, and confess. Allow Christ into our hearts. Let's pray this prayer together. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray, amen. Listen, I want to contact with you. I want to get in contact with you. I want to communicate with you. I want to work out your gifts together. We are called to this thing together. I need you to text the word all in, A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Again, text the word all in to 609-831-3377. Listen, I hope you are blessed by today's message. Hope you were encouraged by today's message. Send it out, share it to those, your friends, your loved ones. I love you, but God loves you more. God bless you. Have a great day.